Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Mrs. Morris and the Mermaid by Tracy Wilton. Narrated by Callie Bollier. Chapter 1. Friday afternoon, 2 days before the inaugural Mermaid Parade on the first Sunday of September, Charlene Morris was in her element, directing guests and bags from the foyer of her bed and breakfast. It was organized chaos, as her previous guests had checked out at 11:30, and this wave all wanted to check in at 1 with mounds of luggage. The atmosphere was holiday festive as the guests conversed. 3 of the 4 suites would be occupied by those in the parade, except for the Benets, Dirk and Rose, from Washington State. The young couple was thrilled by the lucky happenstance. Natalie Southern, a mermaid named Tida Wave, whose pink hair matched her pink shirt, offered to help the Benets with costumes if they wanted to walk the route. She was a seamstress and had packed extra fabric, which explained all 4 trunks. Natalie's husband, Link, had a hand on each of his twin girls' shoulders, blonde cherubs named Aqua and Jewel, according to the front of their T-shirts. Dr. Jack Strathmore, her resident ghost, watched from the kitchen hall, arms crossed as he observed the newcomers. Silva peered down from the second-floor landing, the Persian cat safely tucked between the rails, queen of all she surveyed as she flicked her thick, fluffy tail. Andrew and Barb Martin had multiple suitcases. "You don't have an elevator?" Barb asked with an eye at the central staircase. "No elevator. If something is too heavy, I'm happy to help so we don't ding the stairs," Charlene said. The carpet runner on the steps did its best as folks lugged bags and cases without a thought to the wood beneath. "I can lift them." Andrew grinned and curled his arm to flex his biceps. He had a trim physique, average height, brown hair and eyes. He and Barb, his wife, a petite, attractive woman with light brown hair, were in their mid-30s. And Minnie Johnson, the housekeeper at Charlene's, walked through Jack with a shiver as she read from a clipboard. "The Martins are in the blue room, the Benets in the gold, the Southerns are in the pink, and the Wheatons in the green. Look for the colored anchor on the door. Inside your suite, you'll find a list of restaurants and activities. See me for your key." The Wheatons stepped forward, a harried couple in their 40s with a 10-year-old son who had a pinched mouth. "The green, you'd said?" Terry brought his wife Lottie to his side as he waited for Minnie's confirmation. "Yes, here you go." Minnie gave him the key, and the trio hurried toward the stairs. "There will be a bathroom in this suite, Dylan," Lottie said to their son, which explained his nervous expression. Within 15 minutes, the guests had all gone upstairs, except for the Sancho's brothers, who wouldn't arrive until after 4. They had 2 of the singles on the 3rd floor. "We're getting the hang of handling a crowd," Charlene told Minnie with appreciation. "The colored anchors on the doors and the matching key fobs really simplified things." "Your idea, and a good one." Minnie read the list on her clipboard and put a check mark next to the names of those already there. Check-in was usually more staggered, but because of the parade, everyone wanted to be in as early as possible. "I can't wait to see the mermaid costumes," Charlene said. "I had no idea people still traveled with trunks. That must cost a fortune." Jack, dressed in golf shorts and a polo the same turquoise as his eyes, stared upward at the second-floor gallery. "What a unique event. I've never met a mermaid before, and now we'll have a houseful." Silva loped her way gracefully down the stairs now that the crowd was gone. Charlene had noticed the cat liked to observe the new guests just as much as Charlene, Jack, and Minnie did. "Too bad Avery couldn't come home this weekend." Minnie stuck the pen behind her ear. She'd enjoy the parade, too. It was Avery's first official week at college, only 40 minutes away in Boston, but she lived in a dorm so she could be independent. They texted every few days. Charlene missed the teenager terribly, yet understood that Avery needed to spread her wings. She learned from her parents and didn't want to smother Avery, who hadn't been away from Salem before now. She'll be home on Friday. She couldn't wait. Yay! Minnie smiled. I'll make her favorites. All of them. Well, Avery loves everything you create, Minnie, so you'll be busy. The plump housekeeper slash cook slash friend blushed as she gave her gray curls a sassy pat. I've got a shrimp and bacon recipe I want to try today for happy hour that I need to get the marinade started for. I added orange zest cookies to the welcome baskets in the rooms that are new, too, so I hope to get some feedback. Charlene's goal when she landed in Salem and bought this historic mansion sight unseen had been to create a classy bed and breakfast in a town known for its witches and paranormal activity. She hadn't believed in ghosts, and yet Dr. Jack Strathmore haunted this mansion and still resided in it. Each suite had deluxe sheets and comforters, down mattresses, and an attached bathroom so that the guests would feel pampered. She offered a daily happy hour and full breakfasts on the weekend with lighter fare during the week. It would be 2 years this month since her arrival in Salem from Chicago, after the death of her husband, and she was moving forward. Thanks to Jack and Detective Sam Holden, who she'd gone on 4 actual dates with, Charlene was at peace with her past. I'll let you know what I hear about the cookies, but I'm sure they'll get high praise. Her secret weapon for the fabulous reviews online was Minnie. The woman turned average into gourmet, and the guests could tell the food was seasoned with love. Thank you. Minnie inched toward the kitchen with the clipboard to her chest. And what are you going to do? Charlene gave Minnie an embarrassed smile. I hate to admit this, but I haven't seen Sirena. Jack had suggested they watch the movie so Charlene wouldn't be clueless about the pop culture references from 25 years earlier during the Mermaid Parade weekend. She'd meant to do so before now, but had been too busy juggling her business, her mom threatening to move to Salem, and Avery going to college. Dates on the quiet with Sam were a bonus, though he'd been traveling quite a bit to New York for work. Minnie's eyes widened at Charlene's confession. It was so popular! Well, maybe it was a bigger deal in Salem because Trinity Powers the Star is from here. You've seen the remake? My grandkids are all about it. No, Charlene shrugged. It's on the agenda to watch them both today. Minnie clicked her tongue against her teeth in mock shame. What on earth? It's not like you're running a bed and breakfast or anything, unless you have something against mermaids. Charlene liked mermaids just fine, but they weren't something she went out of her way for. I saw Splash. Well, Sirena came out after that, Minnie said. It wasn't a romantic comedy, but more of a drama. Trinity Powers was a lovely water ballet artist and very graceful. Her presence on screen was mesmerizing. The remake came out 3 months ago, and my grandkids have seen it several times. I don't know the name of the actress. How could she be as good? I'll watch the first one, at least. The parade would feature Trinity Powers in the lead float to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the original movie. Charlene! Natalie Southern hurried down the stairs with a friendly laugh. She exuded good vibes as she reached the foyer where she and Minnie and Jack stood. Natalie! Charlene turned toward their pink-haired guest. Avery used to color her hair in fun ways, too. Is everything all right? Oh, the rooms are perfect, Natalie enthused. I overheard you about the movies. Do you have a TV in a common area to play them on? I'm sure the girls would love to see both. They have the remake memorized, but I don't think they've seen the original. I have some last-minute costume adjustments to make, and I could use space to spread out. Sure. Why not come into the living room? We can set you up. She glanced at Jack, who nodded. They wouldn't view it together in her suite, but he could still watch it with her out here. In business, she'd learned that one had to be flexible. Jack could comment all he liked, but she'd have to be careful not to reply or look like an idiot. He liked to trick her into giving herself away. She was the only human so far who could see Jack, though Silva could too. The cat had figured out by trial and error that she couldn't touch Jack, who often teased her. Hard to believe that when Charlene met Jack, he'd been so grumpy because he was very light-hearted now. Charlene smiled at Natalie and checked her watch. 1:30. Give me a few minutes, and I'll meet you in the living room. I'll ask if some of the other guests want to watch the movie, too. Shall we start with the old or the new? I love Alana's version. It's modern and hip while staying true to the storyline, Natalie said. Cute guy falls overboard. Mermaid saves him. They fall in love. Mermaid captured, but cute guy saves her. Nice summary, Charlene thought. You should probably watch the original first to compare, Jack said. Trinity Powers was magnetic on screen. Minnie, unknowingly, echoed Jack's sentiment. I think you should start with the classic and then the remake to understand the differences. Natalie brushed back her bangs, her eyes glinting with lighthearted mischief. Minnie, are you Team Trinity? Maybe. Minnie lowered her clipboard suspiciously. What does that mean? There's a big feud going on right now between Trinity's fans, who like the original, and Alana's fans, who prefer the modern. Natalie leaned closer to murmur. It's all over the internet that Alana called Trinity a has-been and a nobody. That's not nice, Minnie frowned. It's not personal, Natalie said, blowing the comments off. How couldn't it be personal? Jack asked. Of course it's personal, Minnie replied. How would you like to be called a nobody? Natalie's cheeks turned darker than her pink hair. You're right. I guess because of social media, the insults seem disconnected from the actual actresses. There has to be more to the story of why Alana would say that, don't you think? Our girls idolize her. I can't wait to find out. I heard that Trinity is practically a recluse in L.A. That's where Alana lives, too. To meet them both. She clasped her hands over her heart and sighed. Charlene had more than an average curiosity, and now she also wanted to know what was going on behind the scenes between the stars. Brandy Flint, president of New Business, had reached out to Trinity because they'd attended elementary school together to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Serena with the debut of the Mermaid Parade. Her daughter Serenity had suggested the parade to raise money for Clean Oceans of Salem, a project focused on clearing plastics from the sea. Serenity had gone several years in a row to Coney Island's Mermaid Parade and had a blast, loving the costumes and sense of community. She hoped to bring that here. Mermaids and oceans were a natural fit. Brandy hadn't mentioned anything about Trinity Powers being a recluse, so Charlene attributed it to mean girl gossip. Once Trinity had agreed to headline the Mermaid Parade, the event had grown to include an outdoor viewing of Serena at Salem Common after the parade on Sunday night. A King and Queen Neptune would be crowned and cash prizes for the best costumes and floats awarded. How much space do you need, Natalie? I'm working on a mermaid tail for Aqua and a bodice. I finished Jules already. Natalie stretched her arms horizontally to her sides. So long as I can spread out on the floor, I'll be fine. So far, the RSVPs for the parade had reached 100, with 50 floats. Serenity had agreed to co-chair the parade with her mom, and Charlene, also on the board, stepped in where she was needed. They'd hired a local artist, Bobby Rourke, to design a Serena 25th anniversary t-shirt for the parade participants to be given at registration Sunday morning at 10. "Are you part of a float?" Charlene asked Natalie. "No, this year we're walking to check it out. We haven't been to Salem before. Do you know how much prize money will be awarded?" $500 for first place," Charlene said. "That's a sweet prize," Natalie rubbed her hands together. "Better than the Mermaid Festival in Charlotte last year. My girls won for their age group, but it was only $50. "Do you travel to a lot of parades?" Charlene hadn't realized that this was such a big deal. "Yep, it's what we love to do." Natalie stepped toward the staircase. "Let me get the family." Minnie went to the kitchen with her clipboard, muttering that it was simple to be nice to one another. Charlene joined Natalie, and they walked up the stairs. The Southerns had the pink room overlooking the oak tree in the backyard, so Natalie turned left at the landing. Charlene tapped on the other three doors, green, blue, and gold, letting her guests know that she'd start the original movie downstairs in 10 minutes and show the remake after that. Terry answered and said his crew was heading downtown and were undecided about happy hour. The Bonets were also dipping out for lunch. The Martins said they might be down, but not to wait for them. Charlene returned to the living room where Jack oversaw the proceedings. Link helped the girls get settled with pillows on the floor. Natalie, in an armchair, had a box of colored tulle and a wristlet with pins, needles, and thread. Other materials for the costume were plastic and foam. Minnie had turned the TV on its stand so that everyone could see. "I'm looking forward to this." Charlene was able to stream Serena and pressed play on the remote for the movie. So much easier these days than a DVD. "Ready?" "It was filmed in the Bahamas," Jack said.
"Yeah."
Link sat on the floor by his daughters, cross-legged. "Never saw the original either. It'll be hard to beat Alana Gomez, though. That woman can swim."
"She's a mermaid, Dad," Aqua giggled. "Yeah, Dad," Jewel said in a serious tone. "Mermaids have to swim."
"You're right, girls," Link smacked a palm to his forehead. His hair was brown, his manner as friendly as Natalie's. "Cute." Jack bestowed a fatherly smile at them. Charlene sat on the yellow brocade chair and was swept away by the magic of the film. Josh, a handsome yet arrogant young man, was partying with friends on a cruise ship. He fell overboard during a dance scene. Serena, a mermaid, saved his life, bringing him to a deserted island and feeding him coconuts to survive. Lots of coconuts. Trinity Powers was true grace as she swam in the ocean, her movements fluid and hypnotic. Her large violet eyes compelled the viewer to fall in love. Her hair, long and dark chestnut, the hint of breasts peeping between the soft waist-length curls in a teasing game of peekaboo. Nothing too risque. The near-death experience caused Josh to realize the error of his ways. He spent a month with Serena, making love during the moonlight when she came ashore and gained legs, only to be back in the water again at dawn or risk death. Again, made for a PG audience. Toward the end of the movie, Josh was bit by a scorpion and almost died. The emotion in Serena's violet eyes transcended the 25 years since the film was made. No wonder it was a cult classic. Charlene glanced at her guests. Natalie was as enthralled as her girls and husband, her needle poised over a scrap of fabric. They were all afraid when Serena was captured by the cruel government for testing and experiments, and they cried when Josh rescued her at great risk to himself. They cried more when the pair accepted their doomed love. Serena swam away, and Josh spent the rest of his life pining for her. The credits rolled. Through her tears, Charlene read that Trinity Power starred as Serena and Mickey B. as Josh. Natalie cried big tears, and Charlene offered her the box of tissues from the side table after swiping one for herself. She sucked in a quivering breath.
That is tragic and romantic and beautiful. Charlene dabbed her damp cheeks. Why didn't they do more?
I had no idea it would be so good, Link said, awe in his voice.
Jack cleared his throat, a human affectation, as ghosts didn't actually need to do such a thing.
Trinity sure could act. Shame she never went anywhere after this.
The girls were glued to their dad's side.
That was too sad. But I want to see it again, Jewel said, her lower lip pouting.
A romantic at heart, like me, Link gave a low chuckle.
Aqua stood and leaned against Natalie's knee. She was over it. Now can we see the good one? Natalie snugged an arm around her daughter. You like the new version better?
That was all right, but I like the music and songs and the dancing.
Aqua bounced up and down and twirled, knocking into Jewel.
Hey!
Jewel crossed her arms and glared at her sister.
It was an accident, Aqua said. Sorry.
Charlene intervened and lifted the remote control to switch films. It made sense for the younger generation to be into a happier version.
I'm ready when you are.
Minnie arrived with a snack tray loaded with juices and cookies. Thank you, Minnie, everyone said as she passed the treats out. She placed the empty tray on the sideboard.
Welcome. I might stay and watch the second one. I haven't seen it either.
Minnie pulled up a vacant chair.
Find out why the grandkids are obsessed with it.
Charlene started the movie once everyone settled down. Right away, this film had a different flavor. The music was upbeat, and Alana as Serena was not as serene or as compelling. Alana had dark hair and dark eyes. Her swimming was good, but not as fluid as Trinity's. Still lovely, but in a different way. Josh, played by Dom Preston, held his own as a heartthrob rather than taking a back seat. The plot was the same, but modernized. The time on the island was shortened, and they'd given Alana two attractive sisters to swim with. Barb and Andrew joined them near the end of the film, finding places to sit on the floor. In this version, the pair also accepted their doomed love. Josh went on to be an oceanographer, while Serena and her sisters moved islands to avoid future capture. Charlene's cheeks were dry when this one was over, though her feet had tapped along to the music. What's your favorite? Natalie asked Minnie and Charlene when the remake was over.
I like them both, Charlene said, for different reasons. Just maybe Alana has an edge for me because it's not as sad.
She cried so much after Jared's death that she didn't need to be reminded of tragedy. Aqua spun around and tried to move her body as if she was swimming with a tail. I love Alana, Serena. Minnie laughed at the little girl's antics.
I can see the appeal for this one, but I prefer Trinity Powers to Alana Gomez, so yes, I guess I am Team Trinity.
Welcome to the club, Minnie, Andrew said. If you'll be at the parade on Sunday, I'll introduce you to the fan club president, Ariel Glitter. She's organizing a party tomorrow night for Trinity's fans if you want to come to that, too.
Minnie stood and clasped her hands before her. "That's thoughtful, but I hadn't planned on going to the parade. My husband Will and I have a matinee theater date. First Sunday of every month, there's a new show."
"Aqua, come here, hon. Let's see how this fits."
Natalie held up the soft fabric Charlene assumed would be a bodice with scalloped frills.
"Where's the tail?"
The little girl sounded frantic.
"Relax, Aqua. I'll attach it later. It's easier to do this in sections."
Natalie seemed pleased and lowered the bodice to her lap.
"I found a new pattern this year that allows easier movement for walking."
"Well, I'd love to see it," Barb said. "Will you all be wearing costumes?" Silva stalked and pounced on a fabric scrap.
"Yep, even me," Link said. "I've got a staff with Neptune as the handle, found it at a mermaid festival in Southern Cali."
"That sounds great,"
Andrew said. "Is that festival any good? We've been sticking to the East Coast."
"It was so much fun." Natalie used tiny scissors to snip a thread. 200 people in the parade. We were part of a float to raise awareness for water safety."
"Ooh, that's a lot," Barb said. "The Coney Island parade only averages 100 entrants."
100 was what they were at already. Charlene glanced toward Jack, who grinned at her as he said,
"Mermaids. Who knew?"
Link stood and stretched his body from his cramped sitting position.
"It's been around for 10 years now. I'll give you the registration information if you like. How many festivals do you hit up each year?"
"One." Barb rested her fingers on her husband's arm. "Andrew would like to do more, but it will have to wait until we retire. Right, babe?"
"Right. It's expensive to travel, but it's our thing to do together."
Andrew rested his shoulder against Barb's.
"We work full-time in the tech industry."
"The festivals and parades are a way of life for us." Natalie smiled fondly at her family. "We have a merfolk website, Tidal Waves Creations, where we sell bespoke tales and costumes. We participate in the festivals with vendor opportunities. It allows us to do what we love."
Jack teased Silva with a piece of cloth behind Charlene's armchair, causing the cat to sit back on her haunches before she leaped at the chair leg. Jewel laughed.
"Silly kitty."
"What about the girls?" Barb asked. "Aren't they in school?"
"We homeschool."
Natalie took a pin from the bodice fabric and stuck it in her wristlet. It had a magnet that made the pin stick if she missed.
"We live in New Jersey."
"So you've probably been to the Coney Island parade lots of times," Andrew said.
"Oh, yeah."
Link bent to retrieve a lace scrap from Silva, accidentally getting close to Jack. He rubbed his arm as if chilled.
"That's where Natalie and I fell in love. Folks go all out for the parade. It's the start of the tourist season for them."
"We've been once." Barb held Andrew's hand. "It was so fun. We met Deborah Harry."
"The year she was queen?"
Link asked.
"No," Andrew said. "I forgot who won the crowns. We were so overwhelmed by everything. Still, she was nice. We've met other celebrities who weren't as chill."
Charlene enjoyed Deborah Harry's acting and music. So much talent in one woman. Barb looked at the girls, and whatever she'd been about to say, she changed her mind.
"It was a wild weekend," Jack laughed. "Now that I'd like to know more about." "We can't wait to meet Trinity."
Andrew freed his hand to brush his hair back off his forehead. "I hope she's cool, too.
I'd love to get an autograph or a picture with her."
"She hasn't been on the scene for 20 years,
Barb confirmed what Natalie had told them earlier.
"It's like she disappeared. Trinity is why we're in Salem."
"I want to meet Alana," Aqua declared. "And Trinity," Jewel said. "Both."
"You will," Link promised.
He straightened and nodded at the Martins.
"You guys are great," Andrew said, "even if you aren't Team Trinity."
Natalie grinned.
We're Alana all the way, but you both are awesome.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?